Hi, it's a great pleasure for us in Radio Sefarad to have Jason Isaacson, Director of International Affairs of American Jewish Committee, and Lawrence Frandlich, Attorney at Law in the Board of AGC. I am with Alex. Hello. Nice to see you here in Radio Sefarad.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Pleasure. It's all ours.
We would like to know what is the reason of your visit to Spain.
Well, there were a couple of reasons to visit Spain. Of course, it's not our first visit. We're here pretty often. The first reason really was to be with the Jewish community. The dinner that was held by the Federation of Jewish Communities of Spain on the evening of Thursday, June the 2nd, was a major event in the life of the community and frankly, an event that the American Jewish Committee regarded as very important. We have a very close relationship between the American Jewish Committee and the Federation of Jewish Communities of Spain. We've actually forged an agreement, a partnership, essentially, between our two organizations, our two communities. And so if one of those partners is having a big party, we really want to be there. It's important for us to be with our brothers in the Jewish communities of Spain. That was the first reason. The second reason was because we have an ongoing dialogue with the Spanish government. We talk about Middle East issues. We talk about issues of anti-Semitism, Spain's role in confronting anti-Semitism in Europe, a role that's going to be on display next week, it's the 8th and 9th of June in Cordoba, Spain, when the OSCE Conference on Anti-Semitism and Intolerance takes place. Spain is an important address on issues of anti-Semitism. We need to discuss that with Spain. So for those two issues, in addition to, of course, the important solidarity we wanted to demonstrate with the community, we knew that we had to be here.
Have you seen a change in perception between one government and the others? The last time you were here, actually 2 years ago, you had contacts with the previous government, the previous Spanish government. Is there a change in the perception of Jewish issues in this new government?
We've had contacts over the last several years with now two Spanish governments, and yes, I think there's been an evolution. I would say on issues of confronting anti-Semitism and demonstrating the government's sympathy for the concerns of the Jewish community, that has increased from year to year. Frankly, from the previous government, when it was clear that there was a recognition of the importance of reaching out to the Jewish community, that has grown. So that it was happening under the Aznar government, and it's continuing under the Zapatero government. On issues of how Spain relates to Israel, I think that perhaps there was some sympathy in the previous government. We're waiting to see some further signs from this government as well. I would say that Minister Moratinos, with whom we've met on several occasions, has expressed a great interest in the relationship between Spain and Israel and trying to improve that relationship. Those expressions were also frequent and obvious under the previous government. We developed, a very close relationship with the previous government. Ana Palacio, when she was foreign minister, spoke at a number of meetings of the American Jewish Committee in the United States and in Brussels. We had open access. Also, under both of these governments, there was appointed a special ambassador to act as a liaison to the Jewish community worldwide, and we had a very good relationship with the previous ambassador, Alvaro Ozores, who passed away tragically just 2 months ago, and with the current ambassador, Anna Salomon, with whom we met just today. Very clear understanding of the agenda that she faces, and it's an important one, and we look forward to working with her on that.
In order of this relation with AGC and the Spanish Jewish Federation, you know that AGC have a special space here in the radio, and this week we begin with this space. What do you think about what can I do to combat here the anti-Semitism here? What do you think about it with the government and with the Spanish Jewish Federation? What is the plans of the future about this subject?
Well, look, a lot of the issue of confronting anti-Semitism comes down to education. I think that the words of the education minister at the dinner last night were very important. It's clear that this government recognizes the need to do as much as possible to educate the next generation about the dangers of intolerance, and to also remind the next generation about the tragedies of the past, about the Shoah and about other events that have threatened our people and other minorities. And it's a matter of education, but it's also a matter of leadership. When incidents occur, when a cemetery is desecrated, or when a synagogue is burned or damaged in any way, or when a rabbi is attacked, all of these things have taken place in Europe too often over the last several years. Leadership has to speak out. Governments have to speak out and confront this. Spain is in some ways no different from any other country. The incidents have not been nearly as numerous in Spain, of course, as in other places. Spain is not a violent society, and I think the government bears responsibility for the fact that there have not been the degree of troubles in Spain as in other societies. But Spain has a moral role as a leader in Europe, and as a country that has very deep Jewish roots, a country that has also been a crossroads of civilizations, to help lead the charge against anti-Semitism and all forms of intolerance. So the fact that the conference is taking place in Cordoba is very significant. The fact that that this government and I would say Minister Moratinos specifically, but also the Prime Minister, have demonstrated a desire to reach out to the community and to act as this crossroads of civilizations, all presents real opportunities here, and we look forward to that kind of leadership.
Could you tell us more about your work the AGC are doing in Brussels, in the European Union, regarding the relation between the states and the European Union?
Well, the transatlantic relationship has really suffered over the last several years. The Iraq War, you know this, has caused a rift in many ways between Europe and the United States. I think that over the last year especially, there's been recognition on the part of both combatants in Washington and in European capitals that this rift was not healthy. It wasn't good for either side of the Atlantic. It's clearly not good for the course of the spread of democracy in the Middle East. It's not good for anything. It's not good for the prosperity of Europe. And so it is important that there be efforts on the part of European leaders and the United States to try to do something about this rift. We put ourselves in the middle of this to try to do what we could as a non-governmental organization to bring people closer together, to allow a forum for exchange of ideas on issues that are of concern to European capitals and to Washington, but also especially of concern to the Jewish community and to Jewish communities, I should say, because it's ours and European Jewish communities. So we have been a forum for discussions on combating terrorism in Europe, on the threats posed by the Iranian nuclear program, on discussions of humanitarian and human rights issues, including the crisis in Darfur in Sudan, where the Transatlantic Institute, which was what we called this program that we created in Brussels, has really been a bridge in some ways between thinkers and policymakers in Europe and in the United States. We intend to continue doing that. We'll also talk about Middle East issues, obviously. We'll also talk about confronting anti-Semitism. We have been a forum, a platform for these discussions, and we will continue to do that. Also, we've done some research. Just earlier this year, we released at the Transatlantic Institute a survey that had been conducted by a think tank we contracted with on the images that are broadcast by satellite television from several television stations in the Middle East. Images that are really horrific, that promote violence, that promote anti-Semitism, that celebrate attacks on Israeli civilians. And we're urging European governments to block these signals from the airwaves of Europe, and we're also urging Arab governments and Middle East governments to block these signals being transmitted at all. And I think we're starting to have some impact in that as well. So we're doing research, we're being a bridge, we're also being an advocacy forum.
You mentioned the media. In Spain, one of the main sources of anti-Semitism and of very violent Israel bashing comes from the media. The AGC has a long experience in working with media and public opinion. Would you have specific or general suggestions on how to address the issue of the media and anti-Semitism in Spain?
Well, it's a problem, and I recognize what you're saying. We've had some discussions in the past with government officials and others in Madrid about this very problem, going back several years, looking at editorial cartoons in newspapers. I think that The first thing I think is awareness. I think that the Jewish community has an important role to play here in calling to the attention of fellow citizens the dangers posed by this sort of provocative media. I think some people don't even know what they're doing when they prepare such editorial cartoons. I think they don't recognize that what they're doing is anti-Semitic. I like to think, giving them the benefit of the doubt, that some people don't recognize that what they're doing is anti-Semitic. It's really hateful. If you have a caricature of a prime minister of Israel who looks like a beast, and you put the Star of David on him, and you put a Hitler mustache on an Israeli figure, you're playing with fire, and you have to be called on it. And there are standards and laws in Europe, and in Spain specifically, that really forbid, I think, this kind of provocative, hate-promoting language and imagery. And so I think people need to be called to account for these things. So it's calling attention. It's working with editors and publishers. Just, I think, reminding people of European standards and reminding people of the obligations of civility in a civil society.
Yes, and finally, Jason, what is your point of view of the situation of in the Middle East, the new situation with the government of Abbas and the meeting with Sharon and the new hope in the region?
I'm smiling because you said finally, and this is one of these conversation enders that could be a conversation beginner, so you'll forgive me. It's obviously very complicated, but also quite urgent. There is a chance, there is an opportunity here, I think, to move out of the paralysis that we've all experienced, really the deadly paralysis that we've experienced over the last several years, since the really September of 2000, with the start of the Intifada. There is a change. There is a new leadership on the Palestinian side. There is a new rhetoric. There's a new commitment. There is a possibility that we will see over the next several months, not only, it's not a possibility, it's a certainty, that we will not only see the Gaza disengagement, but a possibility that from the Gaza disengagement, a very bold step on the part of the Israeli government, a very bold reflection of the strong desire of the Israeli people to be done with this crisis and to move beyond the crisis and to create an opportunity for real peace between the Israelis and Palestinians. But we will see also a chance for the Palestinians to take control of their own lives, to counter terrorism, to counter the kind of violent trends that have so much been a part of the Palestinian experience of recent years. This is their chance to show that this is not the Palestinian way, that there is a new chapter that they can write for their history. It's a chance for the European states, supportive of peace, supportive of the rights of the Palestinians, to actually get in there and do something about it, to provide the economic opportunities, to provide the advice and the means to help control and bring stability to the situation in Gaza. If Gaza is successful after Israel withdraws from Gaza, there is all sorts of possibility. There is a possibility that after a period of testing of the possibility of stability in Gaza, that you will have a dynamic created in Israel and really throughout the region for the next step. And the next step is getting back to the bargaining table and working on final status questions. That is clearly what many in the Israeli public, I'd say the overwhelming majority of the Israeli public, would like to see. They would like to see the disengagement followed by stability, prosperity, rights, normalcy by the Palestinians, followed by, you know, with that evidence, with that background, followed by true negotiations that lead to a compromise, an historic compromise, that would allow for full rights for the Palestinians, two-state solutions, security, two normal states living side by side and working as neighbors and living as neighbors together. It's not impossible. Obviously, the challenges are enormous. Mahmoud Abbas has said many of the right things, has made some changes in his administration. There is a lot of evidence yet to be put forward that he can control the situation. When that evidence is clear, and it's we're going to see it in the next few months, and there is real progress, then a lot could happen. A lot of positive things can develop. But we're in a testing time right now.
I have nothing to add because Jason is the professional, and I'm just a lay leader. He's got far more experience than I, and I've been tagging along to meet with some very nice people here in Spain. We've also been to Tunisia, as you know, and had a very positive meeting with a series of people there. And frankly, they're connected because everybody has to work together to get this done, to reach the ends that we all want, which is peace, understanding, living in a place where one can travel freely without fear, and where business can be done across borders that were previously inviolable. And we want to see all of that happen. We want an open society. This is what one of the things that AJC has always been fighting for.
Well, can you say something more, Alex?
No, no, thank you. It was very interesting, and thank Jason and Lawrence very much for this interview.
It's a pleasure for both of us to be here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.